CastleRockRadio.com. The future of radio.
Today's program is sponsored by TheIndieFest.com, a virtual festival and showcase for cinematic gems and unique voices.
It's the Roaring Success Radio Hour. One full hour of information, news, and commentary on the performing arts around the world and on your heart.
You got mail, baby, yeah.
I'm your host, Paul Neil Rohr, with my co-pilot, Wild Bill Green.
Now this dude is out of sight. Everything he does.
Our guest today is Mary Elizabeth McDonough, the author of Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton. We all know her mainly as Aaron Walton on the 9 years that she appeared on The Waltons, one of our favorite films on television growing up. But we're going to start, of course, as we always do, with the news. Tom Hanks has a new project. It's called Cloud Atlas. The project is being co-written and co-directed by Matrix filmmakers Andy and Lana Wachowski. Man, those guys are prolific, I'll tell you what. And Run, Lola, Run, writer and director Tom Tegreyer. And multiple sources say that Paramount has picked up rights to The Martian Chronicles. Now, that's going to be a good
wow.
one. That's going to be, you know, that was written, of course, by the famous Ray Bradbury.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Bill? I actually met one of his nephews. Came to my ear prompter workshop last Friday night, Mr. Philip Bradbury, right here in
no
Denver,
kidding.
Colorado.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, he had a lot of great stories about Ray. And so anyway, that's coming up. Paramount, way to go. Way to get the rights to Martian Chronicles. Oh,
beautiful.
Baby, that's got to be that's going to be a fun little.
You know, you hear news like that and you kind of go, well, duh.
Yeah,
why
right.
Have they done that already?
Yeah, hello. Man, that's true. Exactly right. And, you know, that's all I have in national news this week, rather limited. And I always try and give you a website to watch, Bill. This week, out of the many, many websites that I've searched that are brand new, I didn't like any of them.
Oh.
Except the one new one that I came across, MaryMcDonough.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So our listeners today, while I'm finishing up with the local news, check out Mary McDonough. That's McDonough.com. Check her out as I'm warming up to speak with her in moments from now. 2 years ago, I auditioned. It was one of these kind of jobs where they're auditioning in my studio. And they said, hey, Paul, you might be right for one of these roles. Why don't you read for this part? And it looked like this flaming character. And so I went very, very big with it.
Yeah.
Didn't expect at all, of course, to get it. And guess what? As we always do, when
exactly.
we throw those kinds away and have
yeah.
absolutely no desire to have it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there it is. It comes in. So I have this wonderful bit little role in this film that I never thought would see the day, light of day. And maybe
yeah.
it shouldn't see. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But Robin Blazek did produce. She wrote, directed, and produced, and also worked on screen in her own project called Cougar Hunting.
She oh, got yeah, a, sure.
Yeah, she got financing from an Aspenite up there, and we shot in Aspen. And it was a nice vacation for me. I had 2 or 3 days of just hanging out in Aspen. It was kind of fun. So that's coming out this Friday in limited theater release. And I'm playing the role of Charlie. So we'll
wow.
see. Yeah, we'll
excellent.
See.
Excellent.
It was
exciting.
Just, you know, it was kind of fun.
You know, and in the spirit of that, when it rains, it pours. Of course, my TV show will be coming on NBC Sports this summer.
Yes. And lip them and rip them.
You know, and I'm busy enough with that. I get a call out of the blue, long story short. I'm now the executive producer of Pro Legends Golf, which will be airing on Fox Sports Network this coming July, 4th of July. 4th of July.
You it's heard it right here on the Roaring Success Radio Hour. Congratulations, Bill. That's
well,
exciting.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll have NFL stars like Jerry Rice having a contest to raise money for wounded veterans. And right out there in Las Vegas in June, we'll shoot it. It'll be airing in July. So
you do understand that all of our wives are going to be connecting to you now.
I want to go see Jerry. I want to be with Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, and all those other.
Settle down, honey.
Guys, yeah.
I know you're listening, but settle down. We'll get you tickets. All right, tonight. This very night, I'm having my showcase, the showcase of the Roaring Success Workshop Talent, doing 8 scenes, 16 great actors, starts at 6:30 p.m. Come on, all producers, directors, writers, people looking to hire local talent. We'd love to have you there. See some of the new faces and some of the more experienced faces right here in the Denver market. We're serving refreshments, which include soda pop, water, and wine, as well as other delectable goodies, starting at 6 p.m. Show starts at 6:30. Come one, come all. Have a good time there. And finally, something else. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed some folks from the Bovine Metropolis Theater in Denver, and they are having a one-day storytelling workshop called The Science of Comedy with Matthew Taylor. And he opens up all of the secrets to what makes people laugh. So it's a full one-day workshop, and very informative, very educational, wow. Something to be involved with. That's Sunday, May 1st at 10 a.m. at the Bovine Metropolis Theater right here in Denver. And it's only $85. Call the Bovine or go online to their website and sign up for that one-day seminar. That should be a very good time.
And the Bovine is very easy to get to. It's very comfortable. They put
great
on
stuff.
Great venues there.
They really, really do. Now, we have, once again, Bill, an opportunity to thank Paul Valenti and Harlan Bowles
yes.
for bringing us today's outstanding guest. And our guest today, Mary Elizabeth McDonough, she is the author of Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton. She's entertained audiences for more than 30 years in films, on stage, and, of course, in television. And many of us have grown up to know Mary as Aaron Walton, the daughter of that 1930s family that was struggling through the first Great Depression. I think we're in our second one now, but many, many people would say so. And the Emmy Award-winning show is still popping up in specials and remains in syndication. And more recently, Mary has been working behind the camera producing independent film projects and maintains a very busy work regimen. I mean, we know her from a number of different things that have appeared on television in the past couple of years. Shows like Stardates, West Wing, Will and Grace, TV Road Trip, Division, Ally McBeal, Walker, Texas Ranger, Diagnosis Murder, The Pretender, ER, Bodies of Evidence, and of course, all of the reunions that the Waltons provide us for our entertainment on television. And now I would like to welcome Miss Mary McDonough. Welcome, Mary. How are you this morning?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's a pleasure and an honor. And you know what? I think every single person that Mr. Harlan Bowles and Paul Valenti have helped us acquire for this show have all just been so delightful. And we're so grateful of you spending your time to come on and talk about your new book and all
Thank
of those
you.
Great experiences that you've had in the past.
Yeah. So many of them. Yeah.
We really, you know, we have a lot of our listeners are both filmmakers and actors. They have a very good reputation in their industry. Our listenership mainly is in New York and mainly in L.A. and mainly in Denver. But, of course, we're global. So we're sending your voice all over the world today, Mary. And a lot of our listeners are curious now, probably having tapped into your website since we announced that at the top of the show, what this book is all about. What lessons have you learned from Aaron? You being Aaron, it's kind of like teaching yourself.
Well, yeah, or learning from myself. And
yeah.
I think it's Aaron, but I also think it's the essence of the Waltons, you know, and having grown up on a show and spent over half my life on it by the time it was over, so many lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, not only like, you know, acting lessons, growing up with a great ensemble of people,
right.
getting a little confused along the way and having some difficulty sorting it all out, coming out the other side, you know, realizing that I wasn't alone in the world and that a
right.
lot of people felt the way I did.
Isn't that interesting?
There's a lot of lessons.
Yeah. When is it that we learn we're not the center of the universe, that the
it's
sun and the moon...
It's not all about me.
Yeah, it's not all about you. It's like, how do we learn that lesson? Tell me about your experience learning that lesson.
Well, I always, when I was younger, I never did any acting before I got this part. It was my first audition. I hadn't really taken any classes. And so it was very frightening for me to go on and constantly be thrown into these new situations. You know, there's a story in the book about doing Dinah. Everybody kept saying, you got to do Dinah. What are you going to wear? oh, what is going to, and I'm 11, you know. And the chapter's called What's a Dinah?
Wow.
And I knew I had to be perfect for it, but
right.
I had no idea what it was. You know, no one sat me down and said, it's a lovely woman with a very bright smile, and you're going to sit on her chair, and they're going to ask you dumb questions.
Right, right, right,
so
exactly.
I was just terrified all the time. So I think, you know, for me, you know, learning that lots of people are scared, lots of people felt the pressure to be perfect, lots of people felt like, you know, my always thing was like, oh, Erin, she's the pretty one. You know, no, not smart, not funky like Mary Ellen.
Right.
You know, it was like, well, what value is there in that? And I think for me, so many lessons about, like, who I am as a person, what I have to offer. You know, and I teach now. I'm a coach. I teach acting, and I'm a filmmaker. And, you know, there's so much more, but I had to learn, like, well, who am I?
Yeah.
And separate from her and figure it all out. And I made some bad choices along the way and had some really good times, too.
When you went in for your first casting, never having performed prior to this role, how did you get into that whole situation? Was it somebody that just ran across you on the street? What is that beginning story?
I was a dancer. I took all kinds of dance classes that my mom gave me. You know, my mom was from La Junta, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice
story of her in the book.
Wow.
And she, you know, was very poor and gave us all the dance classes that she always wanted to have. You know, people at dance studio, and I wanted to be on Kool-Aid commercials doing cartwheels.
Sure.
Something I still have not done. Never thought
about
the acting element. But people said, oh, go get her an agent. Get her an agent. Yeah, I want an agent. Not knowing what that meant.
Right.
And so I finally got, you know, after some phonies and fake people and... we went to a legitimate agent, and my very first audition, they were looking for redheads. And there you go. It's always about the hair.
How about that? Isn't that wild? See, and I keep telling my daughter the same thing. She is the most beautiful redhead. But will she follow in her father's footsteps? Oh, no. Which I'm really rather grateful for, I must say.
I'm going to stare at her and let's hope not, or what?
Right, yeah. She's just a wonderful, wonderful woman and doing quite nicely on her own. So
very good.
Yeah, that's right. So here you are, you brand new to the industry. You walk in, and was Richard Thomas a part of any of those auditions where you were?
Yes, he was okay. In the final callback for The Homecoming, which was the Christmas movie that we did before the series.
Okay. Wow.
And of course, they explained to us, oh, you'll be working with the Patricia Neal. You
oh
must be very
God.
Careful with her.
Right.
You know,
wow.
And then we, you know, Fielder Cook, the director, is explaining these things, and I'm clueless. And
right.
I walk out and turn to Eric, who played Ben, and said, does that mean we got the part?
Good for you. How
you know,
wonderful.
I'm
How
Ben.
Refreshing. That's
and I
nice.
Stayed clueless for a long time. But, you know, I tried to learn as fast as I could. And all the other kids had worked before, so
yeah.
I was always trying to find my way and felt a little lost at times.
Right.
Who doesn't?
Well, exactly right. So now were your folks able to be, oh, you know what? I'm getting the signal from our engineer. I'm having so much fun, Mary. I'm not paying any attention to the time, if you'll forgive me.
We are.
We're going to have to go to a hard break here. Will you be able to stay with us?
Yes.
Great. We'll come right back with Mary McDonough, known as Erin Walton from the Waltons. Join us on our chat line. Chat in your questions. We'd be glad to forward them to Mary, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Two hands reach for 12 at midnight. Clouds of smoke fill up the room.
DVD Tomorrow is the full-service solution when you need CD and DVD duplication done fast. We give our customers next-day service and top-quality products at prices that won't hurt their wallet. DVD Tomorrow provides fully customized media and packaging for quantities of every size for people all over the United States. DVD Tomorrow also handles your order fulfillment and shipping, so you don't have to. All in-house. Visit DVDtomorrow.com or call 1-800-372-8096 and let DVD Tomorrow start your DVDs today.
Cut, cut, cut! I can't even see the great movie that is in my magnificent brain.
I can help. I do storyboards and...
By next Monday?
You've got it, boss.
Get everyone on the same page with your magnificent vision. Julian Yates can take your ideas and bring them to life. His stunning visuals take you through your story shot by shot, beginning to end, and he works fast. Deadlines are his lifeline. Call Julian at 720-252-9843 or go online to julianbyates.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and thank you for listening to the Roaring Success Radio Hour with your host, Paul Neil Rohrer and Wild Bill Green.
Our guest today is Mary Elizabeth McDonough, author of Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton, co-star of The Waltons, among many others, Promised Land, Diagnosis Murder, ER, The Pretender, One Life to Live, General Hospital, on and on and on. What a prolific writer and actor and producer and coach this woman is, and what a pleasure and a privilege. I'm having a hard time getting words out this morning, Bill.
It's out with me too much.
Is that what it is? I think I stood out in the cold way too long the other night. I don't know what the heck it is. But anyway, welcome back to the Roaring Success Roaring Hour with Paul Neil Rohrer, your host, and Wild Bill Green, my producer. Mary, before we went to break, we were talking about your getting started in the industry and having no other opportunity to act in the past, but having a very supporting, loving mother who spent all she had on dance lessons and getting you an agent and getting started now with Richard Thomas, trying to find your own personal path and your own personality within that role. What was it like as a young woman? My goodness, at the age of 12, it was certainly a different time for both of us as we were at the age of 12 than it is for children nowadays. Just watching my own daughter mature at the age of 12, and that was, 10 years ago, is entirely different than it is even today. But I needed a lot of guidance at 12 and usurped a lot of that guidance on my own, of course, trying to find my way. What must it have been like being surrounded by seasoned veterans of the industry and having to make your own path as one of the co-stars of that program? That had to be quite a struggle for you.
It was a struggle. I had great role models, though. We were lucky because, Richard, Ralph, Michael, Will, Ellen, we're all from the theater.
Yeah.
So we were taught really great lessons about being in an ensemble.
Great.
And the book has a bunch of behind-the-scenes antics and stories, and there's something about each cast member, and it's fun. Huh. And everybody was really great in teaching in that, or leading by example, actually.
Excellent.
There's only one actual lesson where somebody pulled us aside, said, here, do this.
Yeah. Let me give you a line reading now. Say it like this.
Yeah, no one ever did that. Sometimes I wish they would have watching the show now.
Yeah. Right?
But, I was always Aaron and Mary were the sensitive one.
Mm-hmm.
The sensitive one, which, was really great as an actor to tap into, but I was so terrified most of the time. I had no idea what I was doing, which, caused some of my complications, which I get into, and, making some bad choices and along the way.
Right.
But ultimately coming out the other side, my book is a little bit more, it is, it's positive. Everybody says there's, everybody wants the train wreck, especially with former child performers.
Right,
but I wrote it to help people because I never wanted anybody to feel the way I felt, and learning those lessons. But, the set was just a wild ride. I was, plucked out of my little Irish Catholic community
right.
and taken out of school and plopped down into this, wonderful adventure.
Wow.
Which had its ups and downs. Now, today, I think it's harder in a way. Now, look at all the paparazzi stuff. And
right.
There's no privacy.
Right.
I mean, we got to kind of run around and escape and, my first boyfriend was a big secret. Nobody knew about him until, the Inquirer finally found out.
Was he happy about the coverage, or was he upset about the coverage?
You know, he was okay about it after a while, because we had dated for a while. But at the beginning, I mean, I think it's weird, you know, all of a sudden you're in the Enquirer.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for going, you know, showing up someplace. With
right. Marry and boyfriend found at the corner, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and now it's crazy.
Oh,
I mean, that's
it is insane.
Scary.
There's no privacy whatsoever. Yeah. I don't know. That would be very, very difficult, I'm sure.
You to me, it was like, oh, we're at the Tiger Beat party. What can we get away with?
Attaboy!
And what did you get away with, Mary?
Well, you know, there were some moments when we all left the party.
That's right. We all have to get a part of that every once in a while. That's for sure. Man, yeah. Oh, man. Wow. So here you are, trailing along a young man, around Hollywood and going to digs and special parties. How did you learn control? Who taught you control? Who was your mentor in helping you learn how to keep things under control and show up on time? Obviously, as you say, the ensemble helps you to recognize and appreciate and respect that. But was there one specific mentor?
I think it was my dad. My dad was incredibly strict.
Neat.
And the set was really strict. While we were kids on the show, we were expected to act like adults.
Ah.
We weren't treated like adults.
Right.
But we, you know, it's funny because I do a lot of episodics now, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, not always, but I am often surprised when I go onto a show and, you know, we're waiting 3 hours for someone to get tighter jeans.
Oh, boy.
You know, I mean, that
oh,
would
boy.
Never have happened on our show.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the behavior is always shocking to me.
Wow.
And or that they don't like each other. It's like, you're kidding. Where is everybody going to lunch?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you don't have lunch together? We have lunch together every day.
Yeah, huh? Wow.
So I think that the control came from my own strict Catholic upbringing, but also my dad being really strict. And our set was, you know, we didn't get away with a lot.
Yeah,
you just couldn't. We had too much work to do, and there was
right.
a very, very strong sense of responsibility, not only to the work, but to the show. And as a kid actor, you have to have a certain grade point average in order mm-hmm. to be able to have a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
There was
mm-hmm.
a lot of responsibility, and from that, you know, came the pressure. But I always have had, and I, you know, kind of talk about it in the book a bit, about I'm lucky. I always had this internal gauge that when I started to get too toward the dark side or too out of control, there was this safety valve that kind of went off inside of me that
Good.
Said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, don't you think that comes from the upbringing? You know, you talk about a strict spiritual upbringing as well as a strict home life. Doesn't that have a great deal to do with that kind of internal valve?
It did for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, and that's the spiritual element and also the right from wrong and
yeah.
having parents who, you know, who were really strict.
Yeah.
I mean, even in a really kind of kooky way, I mean, there were times when, you know, my siblings would be out playing in the backyard and I had to sit and answer fan mail.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
So,
no, Mary, you can go out and play after you answer these 100
your fan mail. So it became
oh
almost like a punishment in a way.
Wow.
You know, the show, while it brought really great things, there was also this element of like, well, you know, this isn't fair.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the rest of us in our lives are thinking how great it would be to be on television and actually get fan mail. And here you
yeah.
are going, oh, boy, if only you knew.
Well, believe me, it was great, though. I mean,
yeah, sure,
the highs
of course.
And lows, you know, I just happened to get confused along the way.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the book is sort of, you know, but that's the whole thing. My biggest lesson was that I'm not alone and that once I started talking about it and sharing my fears or asking questions that I was terrified to ask, my life got a lot better. And once I embraced the show and that when I'm an old grandma, the first thing anybody's ever going to know about me is that I was Aaron Walton.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's a
right.
great thing. So
yeah.
many blessings have come from being on the show.
That's
that, you know,
good.
I can embrace it now, but, you know, getting through it. And it just, it wasn't because I was on TV that I was different. lots of girls had body image issues.
Sure.
Lots of girls felt insecure, and they still do.
Absolutely.
You know, I do workshops and I teach. I want to come there and do a.
We would love to have you come. We absolutely would. And Bill and I are working on trying to get so many of our guests that have the skills to do these kinds of workshops. We're starting to line those up. So I'll have Bill keep in touch with you on that.
Definitely.
Because I think to have a celebrity series of workshops that work on preparing the individual for life. You're also a very good life coach from what I see on your website. You have a lot of great testimonials there, Mary.
Thank you.
That we have an opportunity to introduce you to the local public, because
I would love that.
I love it there.
And I mean, New York and LA as well. I've been teaching for years, and what I did was I incorporated my life coaching skills into my acting, and I call it acting
awesome.
For life. And some of my people, you know, are IT people who don't know how to look someone in the eye or do a PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
Some of them are kids who, you know, are afraid to play on the playground, and they just need to get that confidence. And through acting exercises, they learn how to have a voice, look people in the eye, speak, be heard. And those are skills that you're going to need in life, whether
Absolutely.
You are an actor or whether you're constantly auditioning for a new job, you know?
You bet. You know, you brought up how to deal with other children on the playground as a young child. You know, I guess they're trying to draw up a lot of different laws and rules and things about bullies these days. What's your take on that?
You know, I have a bullying experience that I have in the book, too, which really wounded me as a kid. And I thought, oh, I think that the rules or whatever. But I think ultimately, like you said, we need to teach kids how to respect themselves and each other. Because what is bullying? Does it come from fear? Does it come from anger? It comes from, you know, negative emotions. And I think if we really, you know, teach people understanding and empathy and kind of deal with it. And I think the no tolerance is a good thing as well.
Do you? Uh-huh. No tolerance.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, I think addressing the source of what does it come from.
Okay, yeah.
And having those parents, I mean, having parents and having a strict background. I mean, and even in school, fights always broke out.
Yeah, that's
kids
right.
Kids have stuff.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
they're
where does
kids.
It come from?
Yeah, they're experimenting with learning who they are, and sometimes they just simply act out. I guess, you know, personally, that would be my view on the zero tolerance. As long as that individual is given some kind of counseling or understanding to find out where their behavior is coming from, that instead of, like, you know, my wife taught for 35 years, and when the rule about no knives in school came, and kids were used to bringing butter knives to make their peanut butter sandwich or whatever with in school, suddenly they're being treated like criminals because they have a butter knife in their lunchbox. You know, I think if the education aspect of it is so very, very important, that if we just have zero tolerance with no information, boy,
it's all about the education.
Yeah,
it's really,
right.
I mean, how and knowing where it comes from and trying to understand, like, I mean, you know, you can look at different behaviors all around, and there was always at least one fight at school that I remember. And it always scared me so much. But then you think, like, well, why did that happen? What was built up? So for me, I mean, in all the stuff that I do, the lessons that I've learned, and even with my educating, you know, women on health issues, it's always about having the information to be able to make your own choice.
Yes.
And if you're not educated and you don't know what's going on, or you don't understand walking a mile in someone else's moccasins, then I don't know that you really have it.
That's exactly right. Good words to hang with for our next commercial break. Can you stick around with us for another quarter hour?
Sure,
we'd love it. Yeah. All right. Good. I'm sorry. I don't know if we got cut off or what. But anyway, we're speaking with Mary McDonough, the author of Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton. And we will be right back here on the Roaring Success Radio Hour with Paul Neil Rohr, your host, and Wild Bill Green, producer.
Toots, you got a great pair of gams and those peepers. Have you ever thought about an acting career?
Get real. The Roaring Success Workshops have been training serious professionals in Denver since 1986, from TV spots to feature films and everything in between. Paul Rohr has 30 years and hundreds of screen credits to his name. Working independently in a classroom setting, you are challenged to achieve your highest goals with honor, respect, and discipline while having fun doing it. If you are ready to develop a career in acting or just want to test the waters, contact Paul for a no-cost, no-obligation review today. rsuccessradio.com. That's the letter R, successradio.com.
Our listeners have asked, where can I transfer my old film or VHS tapes to DVD? Well, there's this great guy and a loyal listener named Matt D'Amico, and he let us know his company, ValleyHomeMovies.com, can take any old film, video, or even those Sony mini discs and make them watchable again. Your film is cleaned, repaired, and brought back to its original life on enduring and easy-to-watch DVDs. Call Valley Home Movies at 720-229-2605. In-state or out-of-state, you get free return shipping on orders over $200. And mention my show, Roaring Success Radio, and you'll receive another 10% discount. ValleyHomeMovies.com. Oh, and I should mention that Matt will also transfer your slides, negatives, and old photos onto DVDs as well. ValleyHomeMovies.com.
Welcome back to Roaring Success Radio Hour. Hi, this is Clint Howard with your host, Paul Rohr, and the Wild Bill Green. Hey, come on, Paul, don't be too grinchy about all this.
Listening to the Roaring Success Radio Hour, your host Paul Neil Rohr and producer Wild Bill Green, and our guest today is Mary Elizabeth McDonough, author of Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton, now available on, where do we get your book, Mary?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, or marymcdonough.com, my website.
That's
if you want
a
sign
great
one.
Website. Yes, absolutely. All of our listeners need to get a signed copy, so go to marymcdonough.com. That's MCDONOUGH. MaryMcDonough.com. Okay, our hour is quickly waning, as it always does, and there's a couple of things that I would love to have some time to have you tell us some stories about. Your audition for The Exorcist.
Yes, it was going to happen one way or the other, and in between the homecoming, my first audition, and the Walton starting as a television series, I was down to one of the six final girls
wow.
in Los Angeles before they went to New York and found Linda Blair,
wow.
who I adore, who's a friend.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And they were going to, hypnotize us, and they had the agent called my mother and said, yeah, they've got this hypnotist from UCLA. And so the story is in the book, and it was my only other audition, really, in between.
Wow.
And we went in, and my mom read the book in one night. We
oh
went
my
out
gosh.
And found it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Woke up the next morning, and she was pale and shaking and said, my daughter's not going to be doing this.
I was going to say, with a strict Catholic upbringing, how that must have felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was pretty wild. And my
wow.
mom and my mom called the agent, and he said, oh, let her go on the audition. She'll never get it.
And you're one of the six finalists. Oh, that's crazy.
In California, yeah.
Wow.
So it was fun. To me, it was just just another experience. It wasn't
How
anything
cool.
dramatic. So.
Wow. Well, yeah, so no spitting pea soup at the audition.
No, turning
your head all the way around.
No, there's a whole story in there. It's funny what they did do. But
no
pea soup, none
wow.
of that.
All right. Yeah, that's fun.
They didn't even ask me if I liked pea soup.
Oh, they had the greatest display of The Exorcist at the Denver Art Museum in about 1980 something, before 85 anyway, and had that little model of Linda that the head would turn all the way around, you know, in the bed and everything.
Ooh,
it was really, really awesome. They had so many pieces of the film there at the museum and little bits and excerpts and interviews, and it was just a fascinating exhibit. One of the best I've seen.
Wow.
Haven't seen anything like
that
since.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah, I'll have to go back in the annals there and kind of figure out when that was and where that sort of thing might have gone. I just wonder if it ever landed in any of the museums or anything out there in L.A., but you've never heard of it, huh, Mary?
I haven't,
Okay. Yeah, Mary, I worked on Perry Mason in the early 90s, and I had to go to the set for some business and find the production coordinator. And I saw her in the parking lot. She was talking to an actress. And the actress, her back was to me, and I came up just to get Gail's attention, who's speaking to the actress. And I said, excuse me, Gail, I'm sorry to interrupt. And the actress turned her head around because I startled her, and it was Linda Blair.
Oh, my gosh!
And I did my business with Gail, and I apologized. I said, okay, well, you know, you guys have a good day. I walked away, and I thought, what a cool way to meet Linda Blair.
Oh, yeah, having her head turn all around.
Oh, poor Blair. She gets so much of that.
I feel so bad
for her.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
She was my roommate at one point. She's a hoot.
And a great girl,
you know, doing such good work with her World Heart Foundation to save and rescue animals.
Right. Wow. Right. Well, you would have to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
You would have to absolutely have a great sense of humor to live with that in your history. That's for sure. Well, another one I know all of our listeners are very interested in hearing about is your relationship with Rosemary and George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. There, George gave me that great quote.
Absolutely. If you go to MaryMcDonough.com, you can see a testimonial that was given by George regarding Mary's book. And very reflective of the relationship you must have with the Clooneys. And he just, as most of us know in this industry, so often the personality that we see on screen is quite often directly tied to the personality of that individual, unless the character is completely off the deep end or something. But he just seems like such a wonderful man to know on screen. He's got to be, you know, that has to come from his personality in real life. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with the Clooneys.
Well, I met George before he came to California to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And his cousins and his uncle, Jose Ferrer, were doing a movie, and we were all in Kentucky. And George was hanging out, trying to get a gig, you know, get a part in the movie.
Right.
And I met them all and started to date his cousin. And when we came back to California, you know, we'd be on the phone and George would be saying, oh, I think I should try and come out and do this thing. And we'd say, George, yeah, come to L.A., try this acting thing. It might work for you.
That's great.
And so he, you know, of course he came, and we actually have worked together 3 times. And never worked together, but in 3 different productions, I've done 2 of his shows, Bodies of Evidence and ER, and we did a play together.
Excellent.
That his cousin Miguel Ferrer directed years ago.
Wow.
And you know, we celebrated our 21st birthdays together in Kentucky.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Fun story in the book about that. And George has always been a really good guy. And obviously he does great works for the world now.
Absolutely, right.
Every time I've ever seen him in all the years, it's always as if we're right back to being 20-year-olds.
How fun! Yeah.
Yeah, he never changes.
Oh,
he doesn't.
That's great.
You know, there's no arrogance. He's just a really, really good person. I adore his parents, Nick and Nina. And I got to know Rosemary Clooney, his aunt.
Uh-huh.
And she was really one of the first people that helped me separate out like a public persona from a private persona.
Right.
And there's a story in the book about it. And she really taught me how to separate like who is Mary, who is Aaron.
Wonderful. And I assume these are the lessons that you help pass on through some of your coaching exercises.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always share my own personal experiences. It's kind of, you know, in all of my workshops and my one-on-one private coaching, people have always said, like, you've got to start to write these down. And Blair Underwood, actually, when we were on the set of The New Adventures of Old Christine, said, yeah, you really need to put these into a book.
Ah.
And so I did.
And so those appear in this book, author, or The Lessons of the Mountain.
Yeah. Nice. A lot of the lessons. And, you know, the show was such a great experience.
I'm sure.
And just, I felt like people deserved to learn about the cast and those behind-the-scenes funny stories, as well as, you know, the pitfalls of, you know, being a child actor, but yet also, you know, learning valuable lessons from the show. You know, the show was always about acceptance and about embracing other kinds of people and families working together to get through things. And all of those have informed my life and who I ultimately have turned out to be.
For the writers on The Waltons, how much contact did you have with them, and how much influence did they have on the production as far as directing?
All right. Well, Earl Hamner created the show, and I was lucky enough to have him write the foreword for the book.
Oh, wonderful.
Our writers were amazing and way ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And there were no family shows on the air. The Waltons really paved the way for other shows.
You bet.
And, you know, Little House and shows like that followed, and it created an opening for, you know, for them to address and deal with so many different kinds of issues. Literacy, the war, wounded veterans. You know, all kinds of amazing, amazing experiences.
Yeah,
and
at that period of time that we didn't even talk about. Yeah, that's right. That was a period of time where so few people openly discussed those issues. And to see those stories on television, you know, we just always huddled around the old black and white and watched those. I don't think we had a color television in our home until not till about 1970. I think it was 73. 73 or 74. Yeah, we didn't have much money either, but we always watched it. So
It was a really, you know, it's such an honor to have been part of it, and I'm just so grateful that I got to go along for the ride.
Absolutely. When the show was canceled, tell me about the emotions and some of the things that you discussed that you were going to miss the most and have since missed the most.
What I love is people, a group of people, a crew, and the people gathered together to create something creative. We had great writers, we had great stories, we had great actors, and a wonderful crew that was like family. And that's what I miss the most. I love, you know, uniting together against the elements, be it the wardrobe or, you know, fire, rain, whatever it was. And that sense of community. And to me, that community is what I missed the most. And I think it's still what I longed for.
Right. Yeah, it's why we do theater, isn't it? You know,
you
get that sense of community very, very quickly because you're together for 8 hours a day, five, sometimes 6 days a week for months on end. And depending on how long the run goes, you know, and you don't really necessarily get that playing bit parts or, you know, reoccurring roles in film and television. You're there for a day or two, and then you never see those people again, or it's quite a while. So
it's a real sense of family. At least it was for me.
That's right. We are speaking with Mary McDonough of The Waltons, and we're going to go to our last commercial break. Mary, if you can hang on with us, we would just absolutely love to take you to the top of the hour.
Fabulous.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You're listening to Mary McDonough on the Roaring Success Radio Hour. We'll be right back after these messages.
Tuts, you got a great pair of gams. And those peepers. Have you ever thought about an acting career?
Get real. The Roaring Success Workshops have been training serious professionals in Denver since 1986, from TV spots to feature films and everything in between. Paul Rohr has 30 years and hundreds of screen credits to his name. Working independently in a classroom setting, you are challenged to achieve your highest goals with honor, respect, and discipline while having fun doing it. If you are ready to develop a career in acting or just want to test the waters, contact Paul for a no-cost, no-obligation review today. rsuccessradio.com. That's the letter R, successradio.com.
Our listeners have asked, where can I transfer my old film or VHS tapes to DVD? Well, there's this great guy and a loyal listener named Matt D'Amico, and he let us know his company, ValleyHomeMovies.com, can take any old film, video, or even those Sony mini discs and make them watchable again. Your film is cleaned, repaired, and brought back to its original life on enduring and easy-to-watch DVDs. Call Valley Home Movies at 720-229-2605. In-state or out-of-state, you get free return shipping on orders over $200. And mention my show, Roaring Success Radio, and you'll receive another 10% discount. ValleyHomeMovies.com. Oh, and I should mention that Matt will also transfer your slides, negatives, and old photos onto DVDs as well. ValleyHomeMovies.com.
Welcome back with Paul and the Aurora and his stuntman, Wild Bill Green. Is that it? Give me a hint. I'm Steve Railsback. I'm Steve Railsback. Railsback. I'm Steve Railsback. Railsback.
Oh, yeah, that has some familiarity to it. Way to go, Tyson McKenzie, behind the glass, our engineer today.
Boy genius.
Yeah. Welcome back. We're speaking with Mary Elizabeth McDonough, author of Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton, best known to all of us as Aaron Walton. But let us not forget that she has also been on Ally McBeal. I don't know why that was ever one of my favorite shows. Most guys didn't watch Ally McBeal, but I was a huge fan. So you have to have some stories about Ally. And while we were on break, we were collecting some of the requests on our chat line. We have people also asking about your appearance in Walker, Texas Ranger. And, of course, working with Van Dyke in Diagnosis Murder. So a lot of ground to cover in a very short amount of time. But selfishly, I have to ask what it was like to be on the set of Ally McBeal. That was just so groundbreaking at the time, using those, you know, effects on film and the breakaways and breaking the fourth wall and all of that wonderful stuff.
Oh, I know. It was so fun because I was a huge fan of the show, and I kept humming in my head the theme song.
Yeah.
And then I found myself doing it out loud. Stop it. Oh, okay, stop it. And Jane was so
nice. She was a trip.
She came in, and she's like, oh, my gosh, you're doing our show. Oh, I just love the Waltons. And she could not have been nicer.
Oh, that's great.
And then she's like, and then she said to Calista, you know who she is, don't you? And there's nothing more welcoming as, you know, you're a day player, and you're coming on, and somebody makes you feel so welcome.
That is so cool. Wow.
So it was very, very cool.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, because so often, like you say, being a day player, man, you can walk onto these ensembles and just feel so awkward and out of it. And you know you've got to, you know, bring it to the camera. And boy, howdy, getting into those inner circles sometimes is a real test of ability and strength. But
it's so true. It's hard.
Yeah,
really. You know, you can go in. And I talk about in the book, I was on Will and Grace, and I did the show twice, and I always try and be as invisible as I can because you have to know it's not about me.
That's right.
It's their show.
That's right.
And I'm just here to assist.
Yeah.
And as an actor, it's a great, you know, thing to feel. But I was walking along, and then the cast from Will and Grace was coming by, so I kind of moved up onto the side of the wall.
Uh-huh.
And Eric McCormick stopped, and he goes, Mary, we can see you.
Awesome.
And he's such a class act. When I came back to do the show the second time, you know, you come in for the table reading, and he goes, Mary, welcome back. And you just feel, I'm not invisible.
That's great. Wonderful.
We're so wimpy as actors, aren't we?
Oh, we indeed we are. Yeah, yeah. We need our therapists and, you know, our little blankets every once in a while. And
I was thinking, you know, I was doing Old Christine, and I was semi-regular on the show, and I would come back and I'd think, you know, I have to remind myself, I am a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a really good coach.
Yeah.
And the minute you step on a set, it's like you have three lines, and you're like,
That is really the hardest thing in the world, is to get that rhythm and to get that line out as though you own it. When you're in the midst of all of these ensemble players, man,
I mean,
that's work.
You only have a couple lines that you screw them up. Yep. It's way worse. Like Julia would have massive amounts of dialogue and rarely screw up, you know. And you're like, okay, I can't mess this up. I can't mess this up. You're like, oh, more coffee, sir? More coffee? Oh, no, wait, that's not it.
Right. Yep.
Would you like a program for the play? Oh, no, not the play.
Yeah. Take 29. You know.
I had to say, a name. I messed it up, and I'm horrified.
Oh, my.
And I thought, when I'm not here, I'm actually a really cool person.
Right? Yeah, please, believe me.
I take care of children. I'm, like, I'm responsible. But here, somehow, you put on that actor suit, and it's like,
That's right. Now, I have to guess, and I know our listeners want to hear a little bit about Walker and Diagnosis Murder, but selfishly, again, I'm going to interrupt that with Boston Legal. Working with William Shatner and James Spader must have just been a blast. These guys.
I didn't actually get to work with them.
Oh, you did.
I got to watch them.
Oh, you got to watch
them.
Okay.
Drinking scenes on the balcony with the Crow Hood.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, I tried to hide in the corner and just put, you know, eavesdrop. And Candice Bergen was so lovely. Of course, it happened again. Someone said, oh, did you know Mary was in the Waltons? And I got to say, oh, I worked with your dad.
Wow.
In the homecoming.
Wow.
Yeah. And Walker, Texas Ranger, what a hoot.
Yeah.
What a great show to do. Loved being in Texas. Loved doing that show.
Neat.
Just such nice people. And, you know, those people were like family to him. And he had everybody move to Texas to do the show. So the crew was amazing.
Is that right?
Yeah. And what was the other show someone asked about?
Diagnosis Murder with Van Dyke.
You know, when you do a drama show for a million years, they apparently casting directors in Hollywood think that they suck all the funny marrow out of your bones.
Ah.
And you can't do comedy. No one would see me to do comedy for years. And, of course, Diagnosis Murder, I'm having triplets and screaming and squeezing, you know, people's hands off and breaking bones. Hilarious. Now it's like, oh, now you look, oh, all comedy. Oh, I guess I got that marrow put back in.
Nice.
Nobody thinks you can do comedy, but I love doing it, and I love being more character now.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that certainly happens a lot more quickly and a lot more effectively for female actors than, of course, male actors, because you're given so many limitations. Is that the way you feel about it? Or have you been able to not have to worry about that and find that you're represented and given opportunities for both drama and comedy equally so?
Well, I am. It's true. I just did a movie called Lake Effects, and you know, the director came up and said, oh, by the way, I need you to be hysterical in this.
Ah.
So I, you know, burst into tears and cried hysterically. You know, so I get to do both. And, you know, of course, as actors, we never get to work as much as we would like to.
That's right.
But I love doing more character stuff. I played kind of a trampy character, girl from the other side of the tracks in Lake Effect.
Oh, how fun.
Of course, I got to do comedy on The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Right.
And then in Christmas at Cadillac Jack's, I played sort of this tacky waitress with bad blue eyeshadow.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture on your website. That was great. I love your comment.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much more than, I mean, and I loved being Erin, and I'll always be her as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's a lot more fun being like the matronly mom.
Right, right. Yeah, the character roles are always a kick, and thank God I was born with a face for radio, so I do get those character roles. And they are the joy of life, that's for sure. That's great that you have that opportunity, because so many women who are as beautiful as you do get stuck in those leading lady types that are all drama and they don't get to play. And quite frankly, that I think that is the spice of life, particularly in this industry.
Yeah, I think, you know, and doing theater was great for me to learn how to kind of break out of those molds too.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, and I was never, and I don't, you know, I'm not a tiny person. I never have been. I'm a big bone gal. So I'm really settling in and being a lot more comfortable these days. It's kind of fun.
Neat. Yeah, that's really great. I have a sister who is also big boned, and you know, to see women that have size also, when they learn who they are, they have so much great personality, and they become immediately your best friend. And I just love that. And good for you for being able to show that on screen. Before we run to the very top of the hour, though, I do have to thank you and spend a little bit of time for all of the good works that you do for women who are dealing with body issues, and particularly your struggle with lupus and having been a spokeswoman for the Lupus Foundation. My wife thought that she had lupus there for quite a while and really struggled with a lot of that disease-type difficulty. And, you know, one thing that we can all learn from radio and from people who experience these difficulties and have a very successful life as you do, what words of encouragement or of information have you found most beneficial to women that you've been able to speak with and help in the past that you would share with our listeners?
I think the encouragement, like I was so silenced for so long, is to start talking. Mm-hmm. And to have a voice, you know, beat about your body image. I do my body branding, get comfortable with the skin you're in workshop.
Right.
And it's really about having a voice and finding your own journey and what works for you. You know, of course, with lupus, it's really about having a good rheumatologist, having the right doctor, and doing the right things, you know, to avoid what would trigger a flare-up for you.
Yeah.
But it's about, you know, community and asking for help. That was huge for me, learning
Wonderful.
To ask for help.
Mm.
And that I couldn't do it all, and that we're never perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people's support groups really work for them, and other people just, you know, getting together and telling their family about it.
Mm.
So I think it's different for everyone, but just to really talk about it, ask for help, don't suffer in silence, and find the right doctor.
Great advice. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. you know, and particularly for performers, I think, and you cover this on your website, that so often we choose to remain silent because nobody wants to hire somebody that's sick. And, you know, with all of the agreements with Screen Actors Guild and health issues and on and on and on and on and on, boy, it's real easy to live in that fear mode instead of the take action and become proactive and show them that you're capable. And you have obviously done that very, very well. And,
thank you. It was a big choice. You know, when I did ER and I got cast as someone with lupus and then they found out I had the disease, said,
wow.
Can we go public with this?
Oh,
it was
wow.
hard because I had been sick and undiagnosed for 10 years, and I felt like I was just getting my life back. But I feel that everything happens for a reason.
Wow.
And those are some of the lessons that are in the book.
That's
so it
a remarkable.
It all happens for a reason. And if I can help give voice to some women who don't have a voice in Washington, D.C., and become a citizen activist and make a difference, then that's kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, agreed. Mary Elizabeth McDonough, thank you for making a difference in so many of our lives. As we grew up with you, as Aaron Walton and all the good lessons we learned from Walton Mountain, to all of the information throughout ER, coming out with lupus and helping so many people to grow up and to find their strength in life. Mary, it's been a pleasure and an honor, and I hope to get to meet you in person. We'll continue to talk behind the scenes. We will do that.
You do this great work there. I want to come and play with you.
Let's do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
We will be in touch on that. And listeners, you stay in touch. We'll be back next week with another great star and another great performer right here on the Roaring Success Radio Hour. Till next week, Paul Neil Rohr, your host, and Wild Bill Green, your producer, Tyson McKenzie behind the glass. We'll see you next week.